Phishing demands patience, but even more patience is required by those who are paid to teach others how and where to fish. In the latest of our summer series on fishing in America, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold looks at the pastime from the guide's perspective.
On the banks of the Snake River, three women are whipping their rods around, slicing the air with fishing line. Their guide, Carlos Ordóñez, ducks their every cast.
Okay, just kind of watch me do this one cast. Pay attention to my range of motion and my wrist.
There's not much about being a fishing guide that Ordóñez doesn't like.
Ooh, that's right over his head.
Except that it leaves him no time to fish. That and the pressure to get his client to fish when the fishing is no good.
Just, you know, people that are really just into just catching fish. And you have people that are like, well, when I fish with this guide, we caught, and you're like, there's nothing you can do.
Over the last decade, fishing has steadily gained in popularity, and along with it, a demand for expertise. In every town with a decent stretch of open water, there are guides. They're a distinctive breed, usually sporting the obligatory mustache, baseball cap, and wading shoes. They can tie knots with their teeth, row the boat through rocks, crack a beer, and put you on a fish all at the same time. And they all have the scars to prove it.
This little kid was flailing his rod in the air, and I caught a hook right in the chin. And I was like, okay, hold on. And he just kept jerking on it and made a pretty big
And the big guy game. Did color commentary for Japanese golf. And he brought his wife, and she hooked me in the ear. Yeah. So I just reached up with the nippers, and I nipped it off, and I left it hanging there like an earring. And she was taking pictures, and then she was bowing. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I had a trip with one lady that kept hooking me. After about the fourth time, I just cut the hook off when she wasn't looking. She threw the fly the rest of the day, and that solved that problem.
Bob Hill cracks a rare smile when he tells that story. He started guiding back in the 70s at the Crescent H Ranch in Jackson Hole.
I started as a kid, but it was a different type of fishing.
Ooh.
You know, it was worms, corn, bacon, hot dogs, whatever worked. And this kind of evolved now into strictly fly fishing for me.
Hill is about the last guy who'd be labeled a people person, but his manner is easy and non-judgmental. It's obvious he loves what he does and what fishing does for his clients, men with scarcely the patience to wait at a traffic light who may spend the afternoon untangling a fist-sized knot of line.
And this last kind of job I was working, it was mainly working with executives coming out here for 3 days at a time to fish. And they were very competitive, so there was always a bet on who would catch the largest fish. But they would lose track of the business and everything else for that day, and they'd say so.
That, and being outside, has kept Hill guiding for more than 30 years. Scott Rogers, who's been in the business a long time as well, has a similar calmness about him, whether he's guiding wide-eyed beginners or someone who's irritable and impatient for a fish.
Real fishermen won't give you a hard time like that. Because they know it's fishing. It ain't catching. It's fishing.
Every guide swears it's his last season, and then they're out there on the water again. Roger says he's thought about giving it up, guiding that is, but not fishing. Never fishing.
And once you get on the water, all those things that you left, whether it be Microsoft or picking up garbage, man, once you get on the river, you get tunnel vision and you forget all about anything that was on your mind, and all you're thinking about is the water and where you are and the fish.
Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Jackson.
There you go. See, it's going right over their head, but they know we're here. They definitely know we're here.